Blog Talk Radio.
Time is what must be done. As I step into the valley of decision, it's time to make that choice. Either get right or die. Father, son, show more long, man, okay? Black kings on the throne, fight a strong mind, man, you can't hold your own. Surrender's hard times, so we all seem to fold. So we all break down to the lowest flowing stone, but I always stay strong. Look how the world ends. When a black man has a sex with the devil's girlfriend, guitar strings playing to the wind. If not, I'm turning to a thing. You take your close attention back against the fence. My own people trying to lynch me. Who am I? Sacrificial lamb, the child of time or the artificial man. Can you keep it? This knowledge of my ancestors, I've been buried deep within the earth's biggest secret. What's the use of these shoes from the gurus, from the old school? What do you do nowadays when everyone is on the street? You gotta stay on set out the mustache and play your cheat. You can find a rich dream.
Appelle au pouvoir, il n'est pas trop tard pour se mettre en scène. Le monde au cœur t'appelle, frère, relève-toi, oublie tes peurs, sois mentalisé. Faut te relever, pour dans toutes les sensées, glorifie tout en elle, faut te relever. Je lance un appel, appelle au pouvoir, il n'est pas trop tard pour se mettre en scène. Le monde au cœur t'appelle, frère, relève-toi, oublie tes peurs, sois mentalisé. Faut te relever,
thank you. Face to face out of Cote d'Ivoire, West Africa, for my beautiful theme song. Assalamu alaikum. Greetings to everyone. Welcome to Nzinga Resurrected. I'm very happy this afternoon to have this wonderful MDT out of Muhammad's Mosque number 4 in Washington, D.C., joining me. And she is a graduate of Howard University School of Communications, with a BA degree in film production and a minor in theater arts. And this is what I want to talk about today, some of the films, you know, that she has done, and especially the a current project that she's working on, The Million Man March, The Untold Story. So let me bring my sister on. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Angela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Cassandra.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited. I'm happy, you know, and really especially excited, you know, after your last interview, but we're going to get to that later on. But, you know, I'm excited about this because I love, you know, the film production work. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot that goes on with that, you know, behind the scenes that we don't really appreciate or recognize, you know, when we just mm-hmm. go sit down and watch a film, you know, or watch
mm-hmm.
a movie.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think of all the things, you know, that go on behind the scenes. So that's, you know, something I want to talk about. But, you know, can you just start just by letting the listeners know a little bit about how you got started with film production? You know, some of the films that you have produced already, you know, and leading on up to where we are today.
Oh, yes, ma'am. First of all, I want to thank you for having me on your show. It's an honor mm-hmm. and a privilege. So thank you very much. for me to share this opportunity. Mm-hmm. I got started in film years ago. We won't say how many. Before I was a student at Howard, I've always been interested in acting. I used to want to be an actor when I was in high school. So I had did a couple of plays when I was in high school, but I think I was too shy to really get out there on stage, and because you have to make yourself vulnerable in a sense when you're acting and all of that, and I was too reserved for that. So when I went to school, I first started school in California. So I went to school out there. One of the teachers had said that my voice, she thought my voice was too soft for stage work, and she suggested that maybe, you know, I do some work in television and film. And once I started learning more about television and film, I found out that people who work behind the scenes actually make more money than those in front of the scene.
Out
in front of the camera. I said, well, maybe I ought to rethink this, you know, as far as being an actor. Because she said that they get all the glamour and all of that, but it's the producers, the writers, the directors that actually make more money. So I said, let me reconsider. So then I transferred to Howard University. I went on and joined the School of Communication. And I was a film major at Howard University. And I did a couple of student projects at Howard. I didn't really get into writing until I started going to Howard, because I had an idea for a particular film. And I was telling a friend of mine about it. And he said, well, why don't you just write it yourself? And I was like, rewrite it myself. Which hadn't even occurred to me, but that's how I eventually got into writing as well.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
I'm thinking as you're creating the film, so do you go through this whole thing process in your mind, you know, before you put it down, or is that just comes as you start to write?
It's actually a little bit of both. With my film project, you know, I start out with an idea, of course, and I kind of let that marinate a little bit and try to figure out who my characters are and all of that in my head. And then I write it down. I do a bio of my main characters. So they actually, you know, I know when they were born, where they were born, how many siblings they have, because all of that makes up a character, who the character is. So I do all of that on paper, write out my storyline, and dialogue comes to me, you know, in different ways. Sometimes I hear somebody saying something, I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, that's an interesting phrase, and I write it down, and then I'll include that particular phrase or whatever, you know, in my script. So that's how I come up with the script.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, tell us a little bit about it, Sister Angela, some of your first films or plays that you did. I know The Bitter Cup and the other one.
Looking for Answers, right. Well, after I graduated from Howard, it was less expensive to do plays at that time for me. So I did a play. My first play was called Looking for Answers. And it was about a young lady who grew up in the church, which was kind of my story. I grew up in the Church of God in Christ. And eventually, you know, I joined the Nation of Islam. So it talked about her questioning what she grew up to believe. So I was looking for answers. We had someone from The Final Call had did a little blurb about us, and the mosque in England saw the little blurb in The Final Call, and so they wanted to produce the play in England. So we did that. So they did the play in England, and I actually had the pictures and stuff like that. So that was real nice.
London? Is that London?
Yes, London, England. The mosque in London did the play. After that, my next major play was This Bitter Cup. And that was based on my experience with having a stillbirth. I had a stillbirth, and, you know, after I had dealt with all of that, I wrote a play about it, because for me, writing was very therapeutic, or the art was very therapeutic, get all that emotion and stuff on paper. So I wrote This Bitter Cup, and the way I came up with that name is I thought about how when Jesus, right before he went to the cross, and he said that he asked for God to remove this cup from him. And and I thought that was, you know, that fit for me, that's perfectly, because the cup wasn't removed, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't bitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for me,
yeah.
So that's how I came up with this bitter cup.
Mm-hmm.
So that was based on my experience with losing a baby.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And where did it go from there? Where did you go with your films after that?
And after that, you know, I did a couple of small projects after that. And then I just one day came to the realization that, okay, I need to start doing film. That's what I went to school for. And I need to just go ahead and start doing it. And after I came to that realization, in the mosque, the minister had, this was after the Million Man March and the Mismore Movement, and he had put the 9 ministries in place, one of them being the Ministry of Arts and Culture. So I was a part of that with some other believers in the mosque. And one of the sisters came to me, this was right before the 15th year anniversary of the Million Man March. I think it was like the year before. And she said, you know, I have an idea, you know, to do a documentary commemorating the Million Man March, the 15th year anniversary. And I thought, I was like, oh, that's a great idea. You know, let's go ahead and move out on that. So just moved out on it. You know, we didn't really have like a budget or anything in place. We just went out just for the love of the minister, the nation, our people, the spirit of the Million Man March. And so we started interviewing people. And one of the people that we interviewed was Dr. Aleem Muhammad. And while we were talking with him, he said, you know, this is so much bigger than stopping at 15 years, you know, because if we had called it, you know, commemoration of the 15th year anniversary, that would have put an end on it. He said, it's so much bigger. He said, you have to tell all of the untold stories. And I was like, the Million Man March, the untold story. I said, well, let's go with that for now. Because I think we were thinking then that we probably would change the title later, but we just kept the title, the Million Man March, the untold story. So it won't be, you know, like a cap on it. We could keep on rolling with it.
Yeah.
So, that's how we came up with the Million Man March, the Untold Story, and how I started doing what I originally went to school for, which was film. That's how we got involved with that.
I'm
just going to mention some of the people that we've had the opportunity to interview so far. I'll save the big one for later. Like I said, Dr. Aleem, we had the opportunity to interview Dr. Dorothy Height. Actually, Dr. Dorothy Height's interview was for another project that we had did earlier, which was Women in the March, Journey of Black Women in America. That was like my first film project since graduating from Howard. We focused on the women being involved in the Million Man March, which kind of evolved into how black women have always been involved in all of the marches since we've been here in America, you know, the Civil Rights Movement, even, you know, the Underground Railroad, everything that where we fought for our freedom, justice, and equality, black women have always been involved. So I did a short piece on that, and then that's when we started doing the Million Man March, the Untold Story documentary.
Before we go to the Million Man March, let's talk a little bit about that.
The first
one with the women. Who did you have in that, Sister Angela, in that piece?
Well, we were blessed to be able to interview Dr. Dorothy Height right before she passed. And my husband, Anthony Muhammad, he thinks that that probably might have been one of her last interviews, and especially one of her last interviews before talking about the Million Man March, before she passed. So we were able to interview her. We interviewed some of the sisters, Sister Captain in the Nation of Islam for the project. Let's see, some of the sorority sisters, we've interviewed them. But Dr. Dorothy Height, I think, was like our biggest interview in that project.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you, because as we talk about the Million Man March, the untold story, you know, some of the people, I kind of want to go into it a little bit, and not to give too much away. You know,
oh, yes, ma'am.
The film, but I do want to talk a little bit about some of the people, you know, that you interviewed and some of your experiences with them.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so you were getting ready to name some of the people, Angela?
Well, I'll go back to Dr. Dorothy Stiven. We had the opportunity to interview her. I mean, that was an awesome experience mm-hmm. because she taught, you know, she worked with, I can't think of the sister's name. But, you know, she knew a lot of historical people, Elvis, mm-hmm. Roosevelt, and Mary McLeod Bethune. That's what I'm trying to think of. You know, she knew her personally, John F. Kennedy, and she was talking about all these people, and it was just awesome. So these are mm-hmm. people that you hear about, you know, read about, you know, in history books and stuff. And then to meet someone who actually knew these people.
Yes.
That was very awesome. That was an awesome experience.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the things that she said about the march? I know they were trying to prevent, I think, you know, during that time, trying to prevent the women or something was going on. And she said, I may not be quoting it right, but, you know, if the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan wants her to be there, she's going to be there. Am I... can you speak on that? Because I know I'm not quoting it right. Okay.
Well, I go back to what she said in her interview. Well, you know, she loved Minister Farrakhan. That was just, you know, she had a deep love for him. So in her interview, she said that if Minister Farrakhan called for the Million Man March, then she knew she wanted to be there because, you know, obviously she was around for the Civil Rights Movement and all of that. So... She said she just because the minister called it, you know, it was something good for black men. She knew she had to be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have? Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about some of these people because I know you had former mayor Marion Barry.
Yeah.
With the women, sister. Cora Masters Barry, I guess she was a part of the women. Was she a part of the women side of that you had the interview with?
We haven't had a chance to interview her yet, but we are working on getting her interview for the Million Man March, the Untold Story, because we're actually going to revisit the women's part because the idea is... Million Man March, Untold Story, this is volume one, but we're thinking we're going to have, you know, a volume two, a volume three, a volume four. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Talk to us about them, some of the people.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay, well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. We had the chance to interview Kathy Hughes, who's the owner of TV One. Mm-hmm. And that, the way that happened was pretty awesome because she was doing some video work down at the museum. And so her assistant had me come down there to do her interview. So she said, she asked me, she said, do you mind if we use our own equipment, we could just give you a copy? Of course. I was like, what? So we went down and interviewed her using TV1's own equipment. So I thought that was pretty neat. And she definitely was very receptive, down to earth. She was really nice. So that was one interview. We had the chance to interview, like you had mentioned, Marion Barry.
Mm-hmm.
She was pretty good. I mean, so far everybody has been real down to earth and receptive to us, wanted to interview them. Marion Barry, Chucky, mm-hmm. a Public Enemy. We were able to interview him. Let's see.
Marion Barry, let me ask a little bit about him.
Okay, go ahead.
He was the host mayor at the time of the march. Yes, ma'am. What are some of the things out of that interview that you recall him saying, you know, by him being the host mayor, of what it was like for him, you know, to see all of these men come to out to Washington, D.C.?
Well, it, I'm trying to think about his interview. He said when he first heard the minister call for the Minuteman March, him and his office just got busy. You know, he said whatever the minister needed, he tried to make sure that, you know, everything was available and open for the minister. So it wasn't any question of, it wasn't any resistance or anything on his part or his office either. So whatever the minister needed, that was that. And when you said that, it reminded me, we were able to interview Rock Newman as well. And he mentioned, we talked about everybody that we interviewed, we always asked them, what was that one moment that they would never forget? And so for Rock Newman, he had said that when he first came out on stage, his back was to the audience some kind of way. And when he turned and he first saw, he said, the sea of beautiful black men. He said that was that moment for him when he first saw all the men out there. And he's a boxing promoter, so he also mentioned that he could kind of gauge, like, how many people are in a particular venue. And he said that when he looked out, he just knew, he knew it was over a million men. So that was pretty, that was pretty good. Also, we were able to interview Brother Sharif Muhammad, who was the former supreme captain of the Nation of Islam. So he was responsible for the security and the training of the FOI in the Nation of Islam. Yeah. So that moment for him, he said that the Park Police, it came to him because when the men were out there on the mall, I guess they were kind of crushing up, you know, keep moving up towards the stage, and it was crushing, like, the people in the front. And the police were trying to get the people, the men, to move back. So they couldn't control the crowd. So he came, the Park Police came to Brother Sharif and asked him to move the men back so they wouldn't be crushing the people in the front. So he said, so Brother Sharif said that, you know, him along with the men, the FOI, they were able to push, you know, make the brothers move back and control the crowd. And then the police came and saluted him.
Okay, so you said the FOI had to get everything. Wait. You say the FOI had to get everything in order?
Right. The FOI were the ones who had to get everything in order and control the crowd. And Brother Sharif said that the police came and saluted him and said, "You got it." And he said that was a moment that he never forget.
Wow.
Yes. To have the police salute him, you know, and say that you got it. And another thing, too, in his interview that is part of the untold story, you know, he said that when they were, before the Million Man March happened on October 16th, they had a meeting at the Capitol, I believe he said. And he said that when he went to the meeting, he said the Army, the Navy, the Marines, he said everybody was in that room, you know, discussing, I guess, the logistics. He didn't go into detail about what they were talking about. But he said it was just, it was incredible, you know, to go in there and see all these, you know, like, I guess, high-positioned people.
Yeah.
With, you know, they conferring with the brothers from the nation. And these are, you know, America's government.
Yes. And, you know, I'm glad you're telling this because for those of us that just watched it on TV, we don't know. You know, that's why this is great, Sister Angela, the untold story. Because
we
don't know, you know, the things that go on behind the scenes. And, yes, ma'am. But tell us about some of the rappers. I know you had interviewed some of the rappers as well.
Yes, like I had mentioned, we interviewed Chuck D, Ice T, and Big Daddy Kane. Those are the pop artists that we've interviewed so far.
Wait a minute. Sister Angela, Because I'm hearing a little distortion, you know, in the in the phone. Okay.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Sorry.
I'm going in and out.
Is it better?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Yes, what I was saying, we interviewed so far Chuck D from Public Enemy,
mm-hmm.
Ice-T, we interviewed him, and we've interviewed Big Daddy Kane.
Okay.
Which is something because it's kind of, their interview kind of leads into what we're going to be doing for Volume 2. But I could talk about that a little later. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, with Volume 2, my husband, he's a hip-hop historian, and he actually has a company, Classic Hip-Hop LLC.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were talking about the different volumes that we want to do after we complete Volume 1, he said, well, why don't we focus on the Million Man March Untold Story, hip-hop, and the youth? And I thought, okay, we can do that. And it's funny because, it's, you know, God, it's like when you have an idea or a thought, and God just put things in place to make that thought a reality because, like I said, we've started interviewing some of hip-hop artists. So now we've already got some of the footage that can be included in Volume 2, which will focus on hip-hop and the youth.
Yeah. That's great. That's wonderful because it's near 2 million stories, you know, to be told. So,
right.
You know, take it in different directions, I think, is great.
Right.
One, you were talking about Ice-T.
Oh,
now,
yes.
What was that like, Sister Angela? Because I know you were on the, did you go to New York and all of that?
Yes.
Tell us about Ice-T.
Oh, yes, ma'am. That was so exciting.
Okay.
Well, I got Ice-T's information because I sent an email to Chuck D, right? And I said, I don't know if he's going to respond or anything. I said, but I'll just send it and see what happens. And I asked him if he could help me get in touch with certain people because it's actually a song called Where You At with hip-hop artists in the song. And I said, it would be good if I could interview those artists that's in that particular song that they made for the Million Man March, with Ice-T being one, and Chuck D was in it as well. So I sent Chuck D an email asking if he could get in touch with any of the artists that was in that particular video. So he emailed me on an email that he sent to Ice-T and Ice-T's manager. Mind you, I had already contacted what I thought was their contact information, and I didn't get any of it, but when Chuck D sent that email, then the doors opened up. So he told them about me and the project that I was doing and asked if they'd be interested in being a part of it. So then I just followed up after that with Chuck D and Ice-T. Ice Cube and Ice-T's managers. And Ice-T, it just so happened that we were able to get his interview a little quicker than Ice Cube because he's also interested in being a part of the project. So we had to go to New York to do Ice-T's interview. So we were like, oh, Lord, you know, how are we going to get to New York? Because, you know, like I was saying, you don't have a budget like that where we could just spend money and travel. So it so happened that my husband had mentioned it to one of the brothers in the mob who knew another brother who worked for Amtrak. So he was able to, you know, do some things for us. So me and my videographer were able to go to New York. We went to the set of Law & Order as we did. So that was exciting for me anyway because I'm a Law & Order fan.
Okay, Angela, I'm getting distortion, and I really want to hear. I don't know if it's... Okay.
Is
but,
that better? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And it's kind of going in and out, and I really want to hear because you're talking about, you say you went to the set of Law & Order.
Yes, we went to the set of Law & Order, and that was exciting for me because I'm a Law & Order fan. So being on the set was exciting. I got to see some of the other characters from or actors from Law & Order. So that was exciting. And Ice-T originally his manager had said that, you know, he would allow us 30 minutes, but he said that Ice-T might go longer because he said he was a talker. And sure enough, it did go longer than 30 minutes. He was a talker. Which is good. You know, the more he talked, the better for me. So he talked about his experience with the march and meeting the minister. And you know, he has mad love for Minister Farrakhan. He, you know, really enjoyed his experience at the Million Man March. So that was really good. So that was my experience with Ice-T.
Yeah.
And then, I mentioned, Big Daddy Kane, I was able to contact him, his manager, and we set it up when he came. He was coming through D.C. He did a show in D.C. And so we were able to interview him at the Howard Theater. So that was really good. And like I was saying, Ice Cube, we haven't been able to interview him just yet, but he has expressed interest in being interviewed, so it's just a matter of us coordinating, you know, the times and scheduling.
Okay, and let me ask a little bit about that, because with people like that, and he's, I guess, in California, so do you have to travel to them, or, you know, them come this way, or, you know, how does that work in getting all these interviews for these people? Is it mainly just the people within the D.C. area that you're getting, or?
Well, what it is when I contact them, I ask them if they're going to be on the East Coast, places that we could, you know, possibly drive to.
Okay.
Or get to. So once they said it, you know, they'll be on the East Coast and they'll give me a general time, then we try to set it up that way when they're on this side, on the East Coast. Excuse me.
Okay. All
so
right.
I mean, like I'm excited.
He is. Because it was so many people that you had, and I'm just trying to touch on a few just to give you know, the audience a glimpse of, you know, some of these people that you have in this film and the stories. I know another one, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And,
you
know, from a female perspective, you know, what is some of the things that she said, just a little bit, you know, about seeing the gathering of our brothers out there?
Oh, of course, you know, it was a great experience for her. She talked about one of the moments that she never forget. Well, she said that she had saw a sister that had put her teenage son on a bus to come to the Million Man March. And she said, now come back a man. And she said, you know, that was the role of the black woman, because we talked about what was the role of the black woman during the Million Man March. Because a lot of, well, I'm not going to say a lot of people, but I know there were some people who thought the women were slighted as far as the Million Man March was concerned. But she said, you know, our role was to be a support for the black men, right? It wasn't for us to be there. It was for them. So when she saw that black woman say, you know, you come back a man, she said that was the role of the woman. And that right there to me was a powerful statement.
Okay. And let me give out the number, Sister Angela, in case anyone wants to call in and, you know, ask you a question or comment. The number is, 323-927-2913. Again, 323-927-2913. Okay. Now, I'm kind of shift gears a little bit. Sister Angela was still talking about the Million Man March, because this is a film that you're trying to get into all the different classrooms. Now, how...
Yes.
What has taken place with that as far as showing it, you know, in school?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, what we have now is actually a promo of the Million Man March, the Untold Story. So everybody that we've interviewed is not included in the promo. So it's only about 13 minutes and some change, you know. And what we've been doing, the Ministry of Arts and Culture and my company, Vanguard Television, my son, who at the time was a student at Sulan High School, when he would talk to some of his friends, you know, some of them had never heard of the Million Man March, which I thought mm-hmm. was incredible. You know, how can you not yeah. have heard of the Million Man March? Yeah. And so I thought that maybe we need to take the promo and show it in some of the local schools in the D.C. area. So we've mm-hmm. had a chance already to show it in three of the schools. All mm-hmm. the students who've seen it thus far are really excited about it or were excited about it. They really enjoyed the presentation. We dialogued with the students afterwards. One mm-hmm. school, Richard Wright Media Journalism School, is a public charter school. So far, we've only been showing it in the public charter school and mm-hmm. Muhammad University of Islam in D.C. But one young lady, she asked, she said, are you all taking this around to other schools? She said, every student needs to see this. And this yeah. is a young student. I think she might have been in the 9th or 10th grade that said that. So we are trying to get it shown, you know, in some of the other schools in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess, you know, with it being just promotion, you say the promo is what you're showing right now?
Right. It's just a short promo.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That we're showing right now. And a completed project, our tentative date to have everything completed for Volume 1 is October 16th of this year.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's what I was just getting ready to ask you.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that would include the big one, the big interview that we got.
Oh, yes. But, you know, we're getting to that one. I'm saving
yes,
that. You know, I wanted to talk just a little bit more, Sister Angela, if you want to share with us just a little bit more, you know, from some of the interviews and the experience, you know, of what people felt about this Million Man March. You know, it's hardly talked about, as you say, the children, teenagers nowadays, they have no idea that this ever even took place. So we have to work very hard to get that out. What are some of the things that you heard, you know, that kind of stick with you from some of the interviews that, you know, that people said just
at
yes,
random? Ma'am. Oh, mm-hmm. yes, ma'am. Well, mm-hmm. I already mentioned with Sister Ava when she talked about seeing the woman putting her teenage son on the bus. Mm-hmm. And another thing that we discussed with her was the money. As far as the Million Man March was concerned, everybody always said, well, what happened to the money? And she said there was no the money. She said there was no the money. So that's something that stuck out for me because, you know, she's a lawyer. So she handled all the you know, help with the legal aspects of getting the march together. So she talked a little bit about that. Trying to think what else stuck out.
Well, you know, there was an audit that was done from that Sister Angela, and I know that, you know, people can Google that, you know, the audit for the Million Man March if you have any questions, you know, as to what happened with the money. It is, from my understanding, it is still in the bank. It has not been touched. So you can go and see exactly where that money went and what's left and all. Okay,
right, exactly. You're absolutely right. There was an audit. I think the minister has said that there were three audits done, and one is actually posted on the Millions More Movement website. And I think they could, you know, if they go to the Millions More Movement, I think it's .org, they can see the audit on there as well and see, you know, where every dime, penny, dollar went for the Million Man March.
Okay. All right, ma'am. Before I get to the exclusive interview, I want to talk a little bit more about behind the scenes, you know, some of the film production work, you know, for students out there now who are interested in creating films. You know, some of the things that you endure, you know, in trying to make a film. What are some of the hardships in this and some of the gratification, you know, in
mm-hmm.
meeting all different people. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Let's see, behind the scenes, since I'm like the, you know, the producer and director and writer of the project, a lot of the work falls on me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
if there's a person that we want to try to interview, first I have to try to find their contact information if it isn't readily available. You know, and I usually do like a search on the internet, which is, you know, you can find a lot of information
yeah.
on the internet. So I try to find like their publicist or manager or whoever, you know, would be their contact person. I email them if they have an email address and tell them a little bit about me, what the project is about and what I'm doing and stuff. And so far, most of the people have been receptive to me. You know, they email me back. And in the initial email, I let them know, ask them if they're person, if they're not in this area, if they're going to be on the East Coast, you know. So we work all of that out. So depending on the time frame, because like with Ice Cube, we've been trying to get his interview since last year.
Wow.
So it's, okay. Yeah, so, right, so it's a lot of follow-up. You call, you email. And sometimes I'm like, oh, Lord, I know I'm getting on this person's nerves, but I have to do it because, you know, for whatever reason, they forget, you know. So I have to just
yeah.
constantly put it in their mind. So it's a lot of follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we haven't had any problems with the location as far as where we're going to do the interviews. It's usually,
okay.
you know, where that particular person will be at their hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Big Daddy Kane, we did it at the Howard Theater before his show. We did it earlier in the day. So I think he was only here for that one or two days. So we
mm-hmm.
did his at the Howard Theater. So we haven't had a problem with location, thankfully, because I don't have
okay.
like a studio of this yet. But it's
mm-hmm.
a lot of follow-up. Let's see. Oh, coordinating the schedule with my videographer. Thankfully, I have two that I could work with. I have my main DP or director of photography. We met at Howard, so he's a longtime friend. So
mm-hmm.
he's usually my main person, but if he can't make it for whatever reason, then I have a secondary videographer. So it's a matter of working out with their schedule as well. And then once we do the interview, you know, we have to put the time code on there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Put the time
do you
code.
Have to edit the
thing? No, I don't. No, no, not yet. We're not in at the editing part just yet for the revised version. But I do have an editor that I'm working with. You know, we're going to start working on that in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I'm asking because you know it's a lot of work that goes into this.
Yes, it is.
I just want to give a glimpse because, you know, we go and we sit in the movie theater and just watch
mm-hmm.
the movies and things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's great to really appreciate the work that goes into it, you know.
Yes, ma'am. And it's not easy, you know, contacting these people. I've gotten turned down. We've gotten turned down by people who were at the Million Man March and not necessarily by them. But by the gatekeeper, the person that's in between me and the person I'm trying to interview, they're the ones that turn me down. So, you know, if I had a way to get to the person directly, I believe that we could, you know, get their interviews. But some of the gatekeepers are not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because, for example, Will Smith, I don't know if you remember, the minister has even mentioned Will Smith.
Yes.
Before talking about how he broke down and cried at the Million Man March. So I
right.
tried contacting him, but his publicist, you know, she turned me down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And it's been others,
yeah.
so it hasn't always been easy.
Okay. Those are some of the hardships.
Yeah.
But I imagine, you know, and I was saying some of the gratifications in meeting some of the people that you have met.
Yes, ma'am. Well, it's always exciting people that you might have listened to growing up, you know, like with Ice-T, Big Daddy Kane, Ted D, you know, I've listened to these people growing up. So it was exciting just to meet them and to be meeting them for a worthy cause, you know, because they were at the Many Men March and I wanted them to talk about it. So that, too, was very gratifying. They have what we call like our stars in the Nation of Islam, you know, with Sister Ava and Brother Sadiq. So it was nice to meet them because they're good speakers and very inspiring. Yeah. So to sit in their presence was very, very gratifying.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about, raising funds for this production. Where are you now? Are you like in the final stage of you said October? So what will you be doing, you know, from now until then, you know, as far as fundraising? Do you need that, and where can people go to to donate?
We were doing an Indiegogo fundraiser, which that has ended, but if people are still interested in or willing, wanting to donate, I have a PayPal account, and they can go to PayPal and just type in my email address, and they should be able to donate from there. And my email address is vanguardtelevision@yahoo.com, which is VanGuard television. And it's all, you know, one word, @yahoo.com. And even though we're completing volume one, because the funds will go towards the post-production part of completing volume one, you know, the duplications, the marketing, the cases, and, you know, all of that that goes with putting together a DVD, that's what we were raising money for, for the post-production part.
Okay.
The music, all of that.
And on this Vanguard, you said this is Vanguard TV.
Television.
Vanguard
Television at yahoo.com.
Okay. And do you have a website also, Sister Angela, where they can go and see, because we've been talking about the promo, and I think it would be great, you know, just for people to be able to see the promo to, you know what to look for in
final.
Ma'am.
I actually have two places where they can go. They can go to www.livestream/Vanguard Television, and they can also look up the promo on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type in the Million Man March, the Untold Story. I also have a channel, a Vanguard Television channel on YouTube, which is on there as well. So they can go to livestream.com/Vanguard Television or YouTube and either type in the Million Man March, the Untold Story, or type in Vanguard Television, and they'd be able to see the promo on there as well.
Yes, it is beautiful. And you know, all of the people that you just mentioned, you know, I think are in this promo. Okay, Sister Angela. Now, we're getting down to, have an hour here, so we're getting down to about the last 10 minutes of the program. And
wow.
I want to talk now about the exclusive interview that you had last Sunday.
Yes, ma'am. You want to announce who it was?
I'm trying to do a drum roll and all that. I don't know if Brother Torres has his sound. He got some sound effects over there, clapping, all that kind of stuff. But, I'll let you tell.
Okay.
You had how long it took you to get this guest, and just take it, Sister.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Well, we had the opportunity to get an exclusive interview with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes,
clap.
Right in the clap for that.
Yes, ma'am. That was an experience out of this world. I can't even describe the feeling that we had. Oh,
okay.
It was just amazing.
Let me ask you, when did you find out that you were going to be able, you know, to have the interview and,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you all started getting together and getting everything ready, you know, for it? Talk about it, please.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Well, it actually, the whole process actually started 3 years ago because we've been working on this project for about 4 years,
mm-hmm.
tentatively. So a year into it, we thought, of course, we can't do a Million Man March documentary without the man who called for the Million Man March, you know. So we
mm-hmm.
contacted Chicago, which is, you know, where he resides,
mm-hmm.
and sent the necessary information. We were able to send the promo and all of that. So we got word 3 years ago that he said he would do the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So when we got that, that was exciting. But, you know, we just kept it under wrap because we didn't, you know, want
mm-hmm.
whatever to happen. So we just kind of kept it in-house a little bit. So
mm-hmm.
off and on, you know, for 3 years, I've been in communication with
mm-hmm.
with his people. You know, I think at one point he had gone out of the country a couple of times, and so we had to wait on that. And, you know, he was doing the college tours, so we had to wait on that. So
yes.
Finally, 3 years later, we found out that he was coming to D.C. to speak at Reverend Willie Wilson's church of Union Temple Baptist Church. So we said, okay,
yes.
We can't pass up this opportunity. We have to see if we can get his interview when he comes to D.C. Otherwise, we would have had to try to get to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So I called, you know, his people. They said, okay, we'll submit it in writing. His secretary has
mm-hmm.
been really good at reminding him about that he said he would do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we sent the request in writing, and then she called me and said that the minister said that he would give a speech at 30 minutes when he comes to D.C. And that was exciting, just getting the message that he said he would do the interview. So
mm-hmm.
That Monday, that following week, I called just to confirm with her and work out whatever we had to work out.
Wow.
So that a couple of days before, she called me to let me know what time, where the interview was going to take place and all of that. And then eventually, the day before, I think she gave me, the contact person, gave me his number. So I
mm-hmm.
could follow up with him. So
mm-hmm.
needless to say, I was nervous all the way up to the actual interview. I had knots in my stomach and everything. So my
Hold on, because it's breaking up. Get somewhere where it's clear so I can hear you. Okay, because I don't want to miss
ma'am.
Any of this part. Okay.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So the Ministry of Arts and Culture and my husband, you know, we came up with the questions. Sister Aisha Muhammad of Mosque Number 4, who's also a teacher at MUI, she had been working with this project all along, you know, conducting the interviews when she can. Matter of fact, she does the narration for the women in the march. She's the voiceover for that. So
mm-hmm.
I had already asked her if she could do the interview for the minister. So, she,
mm-hmm.
you know, so she agreed, of course. So that day, you know, we're getting all our people together. My main videographer, of course, he didn't want to miss, you know, the opportunity to shoot the interview. So that worked out that he was able to do it. Another
mm-hmm.
professor from Howard who was in film, he volunteered to help. So he was there to help. My still photographer was there. So when we were at the hotel, when the minister came in, you know, he started singing At Last because he knew it had been a while.
uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, he knew it had been a long time, you know, for the interview to take place. So he said, how long has it been? 9 years? You know, joking around. And I said, mm-hmm. no, sir, it's only been 3 years. So, you know, we had everything set up, the mics, the camera and all of that. We, Sister Aisha did the interview, and it turned out beautifully. She did a great job. Everybody did a great job. After the interview, he said, "Where's Angela?" You know, and I was like, "Here I am." And he took my hand, and he said he wanted to thank me for my patience, for you know, waiting to do the interview. And I was just blown, because I'm like, you know, we know that he's the great work that he's doing for our people, and I'm like, and he's thanking me for my patience.
Yes,
he's such a humble man. So we had some gifts to present to him on behalf of the Ministry of Boston Culture and Vanguard Television. So before we had a chance to bring the gifts up, he grabbed my hand again and Sister Aisha's hand, and he said, "I already have my gifts right here." He said, "You two are the best gifts that I can get," or something like that. He said, because he said, "And those working with you on this documentary." So that was awesome. So we were able to, after that, present him with some gifts. Sister Nazira Muhammad, who's the daughter of Letitia Muhammad, and Brother Anthony, the chairperson of the Ministry of Boston Culture, she had did a painting. So we presented him with that painting. Enoch, who's the husband of a registered sister, Kamara Muhammad, they presented him with a rose crystal, which vibrates at the highest level, I believe, and it's like a healing crystal. So they presented him with that. And then Enoch also does a proceeds project, which donates money on behalf of Minister Louis Farrakhan for prostate cancer.
Okay.
So he had 3 T-shirts, and it says, "You can't check yourself." And so the minister said, so in other words, you got to get checked. And then Enoch said, "Yes, because if you could check yourself, you're a bad brother." And the minister just cracked up laughing. That was a great moment. He just laughed so hard. That was a good moment. And then after that, we, you know, took a couple of pictures, and that was that.
Well, let me ask you just a little bit now, because I know, you know, we got to wait to hear the interview.
Yes,
but,
ma'am.
In this interview, did you hear the minister speak on some things that you haven't heard him speak on publicly before in this interview?
Yes.
Oh.
The answer is yes.
Okay. What was that? No, I know you can't tell us.
Well, I can't tell you, but he does say some things that I had never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So the DVD comes out, you have to get the DVD.
Yes, wow.
To find out
for
you. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was great. He was, so humble. He was real. It was no fakeness about him at all. I mean, when he said he loves you, I mean, you really believe it.
Yeah.
It was just awesome just being in his presence. A blessing. It was a blessing.
Yes, ma'am. And we're down now, Sister Angela, to close it on out. We do have a few more minutes, you know. But
yes, ma'am.
We'll close it on out. So I want you to, you know, first of all, if there's anything on your heart and mind, you know, that you want to express about the film that I didn't ask, you know, that comes to mind that you want to share. Mm-hmm.
I believe you pretty much touched on everything. Of course, you know, we are looking for people to help support the documentary, as far as, you know, if they're able to donate. Any amount, $5, $10, whatever, you know, is put on your heart to do, it would definitely help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully the documentary will, you know, express what the untold story is. You know, it will answer questions people might have about the project. So,
And will this be available, Sister Angela? Because as you were saying, a student said that it needs to be seen in every school. So once you is it finally produced? Will this be available to be shown, you know, in throughout the schools, you know, in the country, I mean, throughout the whole nation, and not just within D.C., but will that be available?
Oh, yes, ma'am. As far as, like, the schools, we, you know, we're available now. We could show the promo now because, like I said, that's, like, 13 minutes and some change, and we're finding that that's, like, for the younger children, that that's long enough for their attention.
Oh, okay.
So we're available now to show that. But when we have the premiere in October, that will be available for sale. And that's another reason, you know, why we were trying to raise money for the duplication of DVDs and stuff like that. So that will be available for sale.
Okay. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, let's close out, Sister Angela. And I'd like to, you know, just give you an opportunity, you know, to give a closing statement, you know, and then I'll give one. And you just wrap it up. Thank you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, once again, I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the Many Men, Marsha Untold story. I hope I express myself.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. But I just wanted to thank you again and your team for having us on.
Yes, thank you. And that is the producers of the blog. I mean, Black Hole Radio is Brother Forrest and Brother Jason. You know, does many, many programs on this blog talk, Black Hole Radio. Yes, you know, I'm thanking them always. And, you know, I want to thank you, Sister Angela, you know, for the work that you're doing to get this story out, because this is one of the greatest events that has taken place in our history. And someone, you know, if we don't tell our story, it won't be told. And as we can, you know, the main media, the mainstream media is not going to tell the story of the Million Man March.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage everyone to go and to view this film, you know, in the promo of it, as the sister puts it out. Sister Angela, I know you do you do this on a monthly basis where you would you have a viewing of it?
We had been doing it monthly. We don't have a date yet because since we're going to go ahead and wrap it up, we're going to just focus on finishing Volume 1 right now.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you. And thank your everyone who works with you on this film. Thank you all so much. And as I said, Sister Angela, it's a tsunami starting underground right now, but when it was coming to surface, and it's going to be huge. So thank you all so much. We'll close it on out, Brother Forrest, with the song.
Yes, sir. Ha ha. Yeah. Africa's most wanted. Comme t'as dit que c'est la CIA United. Yo, yo, yo. Move your body. Push ton body. Sony Aïdo, la place à l'issue. Tout faire si vieux. Move your body. Push ton body. Laisse à mon dos, la place à l'issue. Tout faire si vieux. Move your body. Push ton body. Sony Aïdo, la place à l'issue. Tout faire si vieux. Move your body. Push ton body. Mesdames et messieurs, c'est à vous. Je m'identifie sur ce beat qui fait mal. M2S, Maca du Star. Végétif dans la ville, on cherche à mes jacks. De l'est jusqu'à l'ouest, à mon Vermont. Du sud jusqu'au nord, à mon Platon. Une contrefaçon, retourne avec moi. Si tu
mission l'impossible, invincible, pas sautible comme le Messie, c'est la Bible. En m'encourageant et ma rage, en décourage mon entourage, en ma vitesse et mes gestes, j'établisse mes adresses. Je suis caissé, je suis brisé, je suis traqué par la police. Hey, tu veux voir où je suis, m'envoie donc de là-bas.
No fear, my lungs. Descended from the original ones, original son. More fish than a gun, I come like and do more damage. Bruce for the bandage, loose like a cannon, deep for the tannin, deep like a salmon. They stalk and claw after, warned by master. I blast like a master, shoot for the stars and moon, like a knock in the moon. I clear the room when these knockers go boom, boom. They can't contain a dame, and no one's to blame for that now. I back out, all up, won't back down. My DNA laced with trace that dominate like flat cow. You would if you could, but you can't now. Won't whisper under my breath, I say it out loud. I do it to death, through to the flesh like mad cow. That's for every government, from Maui to Moscow. Got APBs out on me now. Pow, 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 pow.
Move your body, push, push your body. Tony Aido, la place à lui, tu te fais tirer. Move your body, push, push your body. Tata Mondo, la place à lui, tu te fais tirer. Move your body, push, push your body. Tony Aido, la place à lui, tu te fais tirer. Move your body, push, push your body. Move your body, push, push your body. Tony Aido, la place à lui, tu te fais tirer. Move your body, push, push your body. Tata Mondo, la place à lui, tu te fais tirer. Move your body, push, push your body. Tony Aido, la place à lui, tu te fais tirer. Move your body, push, push your body.
Now, boy, I remember when radio used to be just like this. You turn on the radio and you actually get something for your money worth, even though it's free. You had to pay for no satellite radio back then. You had good, good, solid radio for your brain, something that make you think. I remember. Now, that's that black hole radio, or Blog Talk Radio.